Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome back into another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Report. It is Wednesday, February 7th, just a few days away from the Super Bowl between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. So let me welcome in the leader of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney. He's on the ground in Las Vegas going through all of the hype, all of the buildup of Super Bowl week. And Sweeney, where I want to start today, I'm assuming you're the guy going around Radio Row and Chiefs media and 49ers media and asking everybody if they're going to get a face tattoo of Brock Purdy if they win the Super Bowl.
Yep, that's been me. Especially considering I think the Chiefs are definitely going to win this particular game. I know I picked the Bills a few weeks ago, but I think ever since then, I think the offense has found itself and the defense has been undeniable. And speaking of Brock Purdy, like, I think this has been my point about, you know, trying to predict this game. I know I'm in Vegas, Steve. I'm talking to you as I stare at Mandalay Bay, and there are bets that are going in for the game. But I just think, like, in the bare bones of it, it's Patrick Mahomes, a two-time MVP, a two-time Super Bowl MVP, all the accolades in the world, the best career through 6 years, versus a seventh-round pick. And the seventh rounder is favored by a point and a half. What are we doing? I don't understand it. I haven't understood it for a few days now. And I if it remains that way, I won't understand it going into Sunday.
So we're going to get into the game, obviously. And this Arrowhead Pride Report is coming to you guys a little bit later than we normally do things. Obviously, there's a time difference in Kansas City between Las Vegas, and Pete's very busy. So we're trying to accommodate and get everything in as fast as we can, but you'll have to be flexible with us this week on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. But it seems like a big storyline coming out of opening night, and, you know, now we're on Wednesday. We've had media every day this week. All of the Chiefs players have talked and are probably sick of it at this point, as they just want to get to Sunday and actually play in the Super Bowl. But opening night, there was a lot of seemingly 49ers fans in attendance, kind of booing the Chiefs, and Travis Kelce was feeding off of it. Mahomes was kind of playful about it. Like, do you feel like there's an overwhelming majority of San Francisco fans already there, or do you expect kind of a different scene in Sunday's Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it's going to be similar to last year, which I thought was more in favor of Philadelphia than the Chiefs. And I actually think it might be a little bit worse than last year. If you are using opening night as any indicator, and I think it's a good indicator because people usually come for the week if they're coming for the Super Bowl. I mean, the cheers for the 49ers were thunderous, and the boos for Kansas City were loud. And to the point where the players noticed, I know that the clip is going around with Travis Kelce and waving to the crowd to boo more, but I think this is going to feel like a little bit of a road game for KC. And you know what? I think in that, like you talk about blessings in disguise, it's kind of a good thing that they played the first, typical road games or traditional road games of the Patrick Mahomes era in two really tough places to play. Like, you're not going to get tougher than Buffalo was. I had the opportunity to go to Baltimore. That place was rocking, and ultimately it didn't matter. So I do think the Chiefs are the bad guys. I think they're going to be booed heavily. Between the 49ers fans here, maybe the Raiders fans that'll be in attendance, and, you know, they're going to have to win again, despite, you know, having maybe some of that crowd noise.
And, you know, you mentioned the Chiefs are currently two-point underdogs against the San Francisco 49ers in Sunday's Super Bowl. And you mentioned, like, how is Patrick Mahomes the underdog going against Brock Purdy? And I think it further highlights the talent that the San Francisco 49ers are bringing to the table. And, you know, while they're favored, you know, on this at the sports books and all the betting apps and everything, like San Francisco is the clear cut favorite across the board right now. I kind of don't get that feeling just narrative wise. It kind of feels like everyone assumes that Mahomes is going to go out there and have another legendary performance and keep building on this all time legacy that he's already built through six seasons in his NFL career. And it just feels like a lot of people are picking the Chiefs like comfortably in this one, even though that's not what the sports books would lead you to.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned, Steve, I'm looking at Mandalay Bay. Next to me is some building called Delano. It's tall and it's shiny. And Dana Hughes once told me they don't put up these shiny buildings by being wrong a lot. So maybe there's a method to the madness, but I just don't see it. I was talking to two close friends of mine back from the East Coast, guys I went to college with, and they were, you know, wondering my insight on the game and, you know, from a betting standpoint, because everyone loves to bet the Super Bowl. And I don't know if I'm crazy here, and I hope I'm not jinxing it, because I was, as you would know, I was negative about the Chiefs going into Buffalo. I thought they might drop that game. But I feel very strongly that Kansas City is going to be in control of this one. I think the moment is going to be a little too big for Purdy, and I just think the Chiefs have been here, done that. I think that was a huge advantage in Baltimore. They had already played in a bigger game last year, and you could tell that some of the Baltimore players, including Lamar Jackson, were a little bit more uneasy, uncomfortable being in that setting, where this Chiefs team has been there, done that. And so I like Kansas City, and I also like the alternate market. Like, for me, in my own mind, I have the Chiefs -6.5. Take that for what it's worth. I'm not paying if this ends up being wrong. I'm not going to pay your bet. But that's just how I'm feeling right now. I'm trying to be legit.
Yeah, it's, and this was something that they mentioned on the newest episode of the Great British Chiefs Show. That'll be out for you guys later on this afternoon. I got a sneak peek of it this morning. And Brad and Tom talked about how the Chiefs, obviously, this is their second straight Super Bowl appearance, so they've got a lot of guys returning from last year's Super Bowl appearance. But this 49ers team has 12 players who were on the team that who are still on the team, who are in the last Super Bowl appearance that they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. But overwhelmingly, this Chiefs roster has got a lot more Super Bowl experience than the San Francisco 49ers do. It's just that the 49ers are so top heavy. They have so many superstars at the very top of their roster, but they don't necessarily have the depth that the Chiefs do. And I feel like that's something that we really need to focus in on this week and zone in on, because the Chiefs' depth is the reason that they've gotten this far into the postseason and that they're still alive at this stage, because they have so many guys who can step in and make plays, especially when other guys go down.
Yeah, I think what's gotten lost for me with this game is I know what you're saying about the weapons, and what gives me pause about all this, it's like it hasn't really mattered against this defense this year. I mean, and we've seen it for 18 weeks and the entire duration of the playoffs. Chiefs had to play an extra playoff game. They didn't get the bye. You know, going into the Baltimore game, all anyone could talk about was Baltimore's offense and how they were finally going to crack the Chiefs. And this was finally, you know, Lamar Jackson, the Ravens' opportunity, because the offense was matching the defense and all that. And then, you know, they were barely able to score in that game. And then suddenly we all forgot about how good the Baltimore offense was heading into that game. Now, I'm having a hard time understanding, you know, where the point spread, you know, is coming from. I keep kind of saying the same thing. I think for as good as San Francisco is offensively, we have just seen the Chiefs defense dominate everybody. And, you know, you talk about the Ravens and holding them to 10. The Baltimore Ravens beat the heck out of the San Francisco 49ers during the regular season. I mean, I know every game is different. Playoff football is different, but I don't know. I think that and the Chiefs offense doing enough, while in the playoffs, the San Francisco 49ers defense has regressed significantly. So, you know, you add all that up, it just is a baffling point spread. And I don't get how the Chiefs are the underdogs, but you know what, for fans, you should like that, because they seem to really, A, like being the underdogs, and B, they like getting booed, which we already talked about is probably going to happen on Sunday.
It does feel like the Chiefs defense is finally getting a little bit more credit for, you know, being the really the main reason that they're in another Super Bowl. I mean, the Chiefs defense has been a championship caliber unit all season long. And obviously, Patrick Mahomes has elevated his play here in the postseason. But it feels like they're finally at least getting some acknowledgement, where it felt like we just went through the entire regular season, nobody was talking about how special that side of the ball had been for the Chiefs. But then at the end of the day, it still kind of feels like they're being overlooked. Definitively, the Chiefs defense is one of the best defenses in all of the NFL this year. And there should be a lot more time dedicated to how special they've played this season and why they can really give Brock Purdy a lot of problems in Sunday's game.
Yeah, I don't understand. And I think, when you think about the back and forth, and I know that people have put the comparisons on X of just how the 49ers are talking about the Chiefs. A couple of them are doing the mistake that everyone seems to make where they talk a little smack before the game. The Chiefs have just been highly complimentary. They let their talking on, happen on the field. And I just think the vibes of the two teams heading into this, to me, it favors the experienced team, the team that can make a lot of history. I really get that sense from being on the ground here that it matters to Mahomes and Kelce and Reed, more so with the emotions on the sleeve for Mahomes and Kelce. Like, I think they want this one better than previous seasons because they were doubted early on and they had to kind of climb back from the rubble. And I just think winning 3 in 5 years and becoming the, the eighth franchise to go back to back, the ninth time, it's ever been done. I just think they really, really want this because I think they feel in their hearts that this would finally clinch the undisputed dynasty that's been debated now for a couple of years.
Yeah. And I feel like you can see the Chiefs experience and every bit of media that has been consumed this week and everything Chiefs related that is being put out there for everyone to read, watch, listen to. Like, you can just hear the experience that they're bringing to this game and the focus that they're bringing to this game. And I feel like you could see it all throughout the playoffs, and now nationally everybody is paying attention to it and everybody's like, man, like 49ers are kind of over here, kind of sliding the Chiefs, kind of taking, mild shots here and there, maybe just, and kind of, doing what teams do. But we've seen teams do this to the Chiefs throughout the season, and it just doesn't seem to work out very well for them because they're bringing a level of focus to this thing that I don't think many teams can say that they operate under. And that, again, that just speaks to their Super Bowl experience. And it speaks to how bad I believe that they really want to win this one.
Yeah. You've seen the comments from Nick Bosa that asked about the tackles of the Chiefs and just kind of plainly saying, they hold a lot, which, look, by the numbers, it's true, but I don't know if I would like lean into that. And then our boy Aaron Ladd for his day job, KSHB 41, does a great job writing for articles for us at AP and the podcast and everything. But he went right up to Taylor and Donovan Smith, and they just wouldn't take the bait. We know that Donovan Smith is happy to talk after the game, but right now I think he's keeping it cool. And the way that history is dictated and even the playoffs this year, it doesn't pay to talk smack about the Chiefs. They don't do it before the game, but they remember what you said before the game, and they'll talk to you about it after.
And, for going against a team like the San Francisco 49ers, like we've seen them play from behind in both of their postseason matchups. So it does feel like, no lead is necessarily safe going into this one, like we saw against the Baltimore Ravens, just because this San Francisco 49ers offense is so explosive. But again, that speaks to the Chiefs' execution, which their execution has been almost flawless in the playoffs, and they've really put it together here down the stretch. And, you talk about the Chiefs' defense and that matchup against Brock Purdy, and I just don't believe that the San Francisco 49ers' two playoff matchups were a good preparation for what they're getting against this Chiefs defense and what they're going to get in Steve Spagnuolo in the way he's going to try to attack their quarterback and put pressure on him in Sunday's Super Bowl.
Well, that to me is the whole key. Like, we've seen Brock Purdy struggle at times this year. Now you're putting him against the best and smartest defense the NFL has had to offer this year. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. That's what the Chiefs have been. And, you're telling me that they're just going to be ho-hum, run their offense, and it's just going to go swimmingly. Like, I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it. And with the way that the 49ers defense has been playing in the playoffs at the same exact time as, especially in the first half in 2 weeks ago with the AFC title, Mahomes and the Chiefs finding themselves again, Travis Kelce looking like Travis Kelce. Now he gets another week off. Like, that's where I just think the disconnect is for me. I sense the Chiefs are going to be in control of this game from start to finish. I think that starts with the defense and continues with the offense, unlike previous years where maybe, it started with Mahomes in the O, and if the defense could do just enough. No, the defense is going to set the tone in this game, in my opinion, and then the offense, they're going to look to build off the first half of that AFC title game.
Wednesday should bring our first official injury report of the week. I know the Chiefs released one late last week, just kind of a way to designate some players ahead of Super Bowl week. But Andy Reid's been pretty honest this week, Pete, about the players that he expects to be available and the ones that he thinks are a long shot. And guard Joe Tooney, Jerick McKinnon, who was designated to return from IR, but it felt like that was just kind of a let's leave the door open in case he can play. And Andy Reid admitted this week that he's also going to be a long shot to play in Sunday's Super Bowl.
Yeah, I dug into this a little bit for our newsletter, and I'll share what I learned here with the McKinnon thing. I went up to Clyde today, and then, you know, I talked to him, and after the comments from Andy Reid that there were some chances that McKinnon would practice or play, I just was confused as to why he was designated to return. And I talked to Clyde, and he started talking about how much McKinnon has meant to him and his career and what a brother he's been on and off the field. And then stemming off that, he said originally, from what it sounds like to me, players like McKinnon and Brian Cook, were going to come later in the week. And Clyde said, no, wait a minute. We are not going to have Jet McKinnon, with all the emotional boosts he has, not be there for the entire week in Vegas. Am I understanding that I learned from talking to Edwards-Alaire is that McKinnon is just there being goofy, hanging out, keeping the guys loose, not going to play in this game, but there for the emotional support. And, you know, Macheco and Clyde are happy to have him around. Doesn't sound like Joe Tooney is going to play in this game. Nick Allegretti is so excited to be in this spot. I think he has really worked hard behind the scenes. You can see that his teammates have rallied, behind him and are just happy for him in this position. You'd love to have Tooney in the game. Doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. The only other one we're watching, Steve, is Kadarius Toney, and not sure if it's such an injury thing. He's off the injury report. We know that there was some controversy that had to do with that, some back and forth as to where all that information was coming from, but eager to see if he's on it. I doubt he will be. You know, he has been practicing, so we'll see if he's active. If I'm taking a guess, I tend to think, like Clyde last year, he practices this week, maybe inactive for the game. He's kind of played himself out of a role, but you never know. I think he is healthy, and we'll see if he makes that game day active roster.
Yeah, I think that, again, just speaks to where the Chiefs' heads are at right now. And if you listen to all of the Chiefs' press conferences and stuff that we make available for you on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, like we do here at Arrowhead Pride, this team loves Jerick McKinnon. Like they love Jerick McKinnon as a locker room guy. Andy Reid has talked about it multiple times. Tons of Chiefs players have talked about what he means to them and just the experience that he brings. So I think that's just another good indicator of where the Chiefs' heads are at right now. So make sure you stay locked into arrowheadpride.com. Again, we'll have the Chiefs' latest injury report for you available this afternoon. We'll also have a new episode of the Great British Chiefs Show breaking down everything you need to know about the Super Bowl. And then Chiefs Coast to Coast moved to Wednesday this week, so we'll be streaming live this evening, so make sure you're on the lookout for that. You can follow Pete on Twitter at PG Sween. I'm Steven Sertz, where you can find me. As always, please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review everything that we're doing right here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. We will talk to you guys later this evening with more Chiefs Super Bowl coverage.
Hey there, it's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, and I'm excited to announce a new element of the Arrowhead Pride experience for diehard Chiefs fans. It's our brand new newsletter, Arrowhead Pride Premier. It's obviously an exciting time as the Chiefs enter this season looking to become the first back-to-back Super Bowl champs in nearly 20 years. Arrowhead Pride Premier is a newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week from me. For $50, you'll get an annual subscription packed with insider coverage from yours truly and new in-depth analysis from voices around Canada. Kansas City. It's all about what I'm seeing and hearing around the team. During the season, we'll deliver a newsletter ahead of each game to get ready for Sunday, and a newsletter after each game to unpack exactly what happened. In the offseason, the party won't stop. We'll still be covering the biggest stories, and all the offseason's twists and turns will show up in your inbox on a regular basis. Subscribe to Arrowhead Pride Premier today at arrowheadpride.com/subscribe.